Welcome to the Classical American Education Podcast with the Copelands.
In the first episodes of Season 2, we presented two of the four horsemen of America's educational apocalypse: Howard Zinn, the false prophet of America's past, and Ibram X. Kendi, the high priest of critical race theory. The impact that these two so-called educators have had upon society is devastating. More than any other two people, they have instilled a hatred for our nation among the very people who have reaped such massive benefits from being born and living in the United States. Today, we will reveal the third horseman, who happens to be a woman, and this name is likely the least familiar to our audience: Judith Butler. Several times on this podcast, we have referenced the book Cynical Theories by James Lindsay and Helen Pluckrose. While the nickname we have given Howard Zinn is original to the Classical American Education Podcast, the nickname I will be sharing for Judith Butler should be credited to them. Lindsay and Pluckrose refer to Butler as one of the, quote, fairy godmothers of queer theory. To justify her inclusion among our list of four horsemen, we need to start with a definition. What exactly is queer theory? That is a very straightforward question that should have an easy answer. But like so many terms related to our discussion of the modern era of revolutionary activism, it is intentionally difficult to define, and therefore difficult to combat. Let's begin with what we can easily define. Virtually everyone is familiar with the ever-expanding group of initials that began as LBG and now includes LBTGQ+, and a seemingly daily list of additions to the most ludicrous acronym of all time. When we mention queer theory, we are talking about the Q in LBGTQ, which is somewhat confusing because many people have found it repetitive. A logical person would be inclined to ask, once you have the G, which stands for gay, and the L, which stands for lesbian, doesn't that pretty much take care of everyone who identifies as queer, just with more specific terms? A trained student of queer theory might respond by explaining that to only be logical if you are one of those old-fashioned people who thinks that there are only two genders. The proper response would be to quote the reality explained in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. That is truth. It is not complicated, and it does not require a biology degree from a four-year university to comprehend. There are only two sexes, male and female. That is what the proponents of queer theory call the binary, the idea that there are only two sexes, male and female. Listen to how Lindsay and Pluckrose define queer. It, quote, refers to anything that falls outside binaries, such as male-female, masculine-feminine, and heterosexual-homosexual, and to a way of challenging the links between sex, gender, and sexuality. Judith Butler did not invent the term queer, but the "and" at the end of that definition I just read is where she has been so impactful. Once again, the second part of that definition is, quote, "and to a way of challenging the links between sex, gender, and sexuality." Butler is credited with the vast majority of the so-called scholarship behind the idea of intentionally blurring those binary lines as a way of rendering them obsolete. And the educational system in America has been fully complicit in that attempt. Many people fail to realize that the purpose of disgusting events like dress-up days for school spirit labeled gender bender, and the drag queen story hour being held at public libraries and public elementary schools in America, many people fail to understand their purpose. the activists who invented those ideas are not hoping to help people who are different feel more comfortable. Like so many of these modern radical movements, the people who most closely identify with the agenda being pushed are actually being used by them. Queer theory is nothing more than a political exercise aimed at challenging what they call normativity, which is what you and I would call normal. Another hallmark of the modern revolutionary era is taking an absurd idea and then trying to make it seem sophisticated by using a common word in a strange form. Let me give you this example. The typical queer theory advocate would tell you that they support all non-binary genders as a means of disrupting normativity. In real terms, that means they prefer people who say they are neither male nor female in order to try to make everyone think that not being male or female is normal. That is why there is so much of a push to expose young children to such obscene filth. The younger their innocence can be shattered, the more likely it is that they will accept and support deviant behavior. Another key issue that we should explore is why the term gender has become such a commonly used term in America. If you will notice, I typically use the correct term, which is the word sex. It is very important to understand that the word gender is not just a more politically correct way to refer to whether a person is male or female. It is not just a polite way to say the word sex. Now, that is the way it became introduced in our modern culture. People would have celebrations in which they would reveal the gender of a child, or they would ask you to bring to the baby shower gender-neutral gifts if they had not yet discovered whether the child was going to be a male or a female. But that is by no means what the word means in 2023. Instead, what we have witnessed is a deliberate trick to confuse the issue and slowly desensitize people to the shocking conclusions reached by queer theory. This does get a little complicated, so bear with me for a few moments. Gender was never a word intended to be used to refer to sexuality. Instead, it is a word that was invented to discuss language. Here are a few examples. In Spanish, there is the word chico, which means boy, and the word chica, which means girl. In English, we would say the boy, T-H-E, the boy, and we would say the girl. But in Spanish, there's a difference between the boy and the girl. In Spanish, you would say el chico and la chica. Why? Because words have gender in Spanish. Chico is masculine and chica is feminine. That makes sense since chico means boy and chica means girl, but it's true even for words that do not refer to people. Here is a second example. In Spanish, the word car is coche, and it is masculine. El coche means the car. However, the word beach is playa, and it is feminine. So you don't say el playa, you say la playa. La playa means the beach. In English, words do not have gender. So that term actually means nothing in our culture, until the queer theorists decided that it was the perfect opportunity to convince everyone that something other than what they call biological sex exists. As I mentioned, to start with, it seemed pretty innocent. Use the word gender instead of sex to make it more comfortable to have a discussion around mixed company. Use the word gender to refer to gender-neutral gifts at a baby shower. But today, among the queer theorists, it means something radically different. And Judith Butler is the person we chose to be included as one of the four horsemen of America's educational apocalypse because she is credited with introducing some very radical ideas. By now, you have likely heard of the concept of someone having a biological sex and then a gender not the same. That is exactly what the queer theorists desire for as many people as possible to believe. And when it comes to Judith Butler, it's even more radical. She theorized that people are not born being either heterosexual or homosexual, but rather they are pressed into those roles by the expectations of society, which, as the argument goes, is most commonly enforced through our use of language. According to Butler, people are only, quote, playing a part, because they are told that such categories as male and female are straight and gay, they are told such categories exist. So her theory concludes that if the word straight and the word gay did not exist, then no one would have any limitations on their behavior, which is exactly what the queer theorists desire. Butler would say that if we did not know about the word male and the word female, then no one would realize that there were differences between the two sexes. Queer theory is absurd and evil, and what Judith Butler had to say is actually more difficult to believe than anything Howard Zinn or Ibram X. Kendi ever said.
We trust that you are enjoying this informative episode of the Classical American Education Podcast. In just a few moments, we will continue the conversation. But first, please allow me a few moments to make you aware of a free resource that is currently available. If you would like a brochure that summarizes the content found in this series, The Four Horsemen of America's Educational Apocalypse, simply send us an email to classicalamericaned@powg.org, and we will send it to you as a PDF. Again, for a free PDF download of the information shared during this series, send us an email to classicalamericaned@powg.org. Now back to the podcast. I must say that I am so thankful that I was not exposed to such insanity when I was at a young age. Think of the kids in elementary school today that are encountering ideas like this. Think about how confused those children are when being exposed to such absurd ideas. This ideology created by Butler and pushed by other academics that have bought into these lies is the main reason for the over-sexualization of children happening in public schools today. Our society has no idea what the ramifications will be 10 or 20 years from now if we allow this to continue, especially when we consider the ultimate goal of queer theory, which is to act in such a way that promotes the absurd. Until you reach a place as a society where what you and I understand to be normal, that begins to be considered absurd. When we destroy the innocence of children, we are robbing them of the natural tendency that God gave them to grow into properly adjusted adults. In and of itself, that is the reason to remove your children from the public school setting. Even in so-called red and purple states, if you will, this nonsense is taking over. We have personally heard about children being asked to give their personal pronouns when they started the ninth grade in what most people would consider a very conservative area of the country. They are certainly targeting deep red states now, for sure.
That is exactly right. And I can tell you from my experience in the public school setting, someone who actually believes the Bible, someone that believes in conservative principles, very few and very far between. That is why our churches, homes, and our schools should be places where the true history of America is taught, not the lies of the false prophet of America's past. Places where becoming colorblind is the goal, not indoctrinating children with the propaganda of CRT. And especially places where the proper understanding of male and female is introduced to children, reinforced to teenagers, and fully embraced by young adults. As we have already said, there is absolutely no place for queer theory in the American classroom. Destroying the innocence of children with this doctrine of devils is criminal behavior and should be prosecuted as such. We can simply no longer depend upon the educational establishment to train up our children in the way they should go. The time to act is now. And remember, we still have one additional member of the Four Horsemen of the Educational Apocalypse that we have not yet discussed.
Yes, we will reveal the fourth horseman in our next episode. Before we close today, I think it is important to discuss what the Word of God has to say on these topics. The reason that such foolishness would have never found its way into the classrooms of previous generations is because at the start of our nation, the Bible was considered the basic textbook for all fields. And we read this in Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." How would you relate that scripture to the modern American classroom?
In this verse, the word suffer is best understood to mean allow. That is an older usage of that word that's not common in the modern English that we speak today. Jesus was telling his disciples to allow children access to him, to not forbid them from learning about the Lord. Unfortunately, the public school classroom does the exact opposite of what Jesus commanded from us here. There is an intentional effort to not only disallow teaching that is based upon the truth found in the Word of God, but destructive ideologies such as critical race theory and queer theory are widespread throughout the curriculum. And very often, they are hidden from parents who are interested in finding out about what is being taught.
And the Bible has much to say about the consequences of those who do not allow children to discover the truth about God and the truth about themselves. In Matthew 18:6, Jesus warns, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea."
That verse should strike fear in the heart of every educator who is pushing the ideas of Judith Butler, especially those educators who are providing transition closets to students so they can come to school dressed in the appropriate outfit for their sex and then change into the opposite gender, if you will, as they transition for the rest of their day as a means of hiding that behavior from their parents. That is something that is absolutely unacceptable. Every parent who allows their child to be influenced by these devilish doctrines in the public school setting should also consider Matthew 18:6 very seriously.
As parents, as pastors, Christians, educators, we should not be complicit in this evil behavior of queer theory. And what would the Bible have to say about queer theory? God forbid. Join us next week in our final episode of The Four Horsemen of America's Educational Apocalypse. Until then, may God bless you as you serve Him in Jesus' name.